Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is
Not Your Demographic,
a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
In the noisiest room in the world. We can't catch a break with audio stuff.
We have recorded in this room before, but it is really hot.
Summertime now. I'm not closing the window.
Yeah,
turning off the fan.
It's too hot to close the window and turn the fan off. And I live very close to a train, so you can hear the train probably in the background of this. Sorry, not sorry. How are you?
I'm good. I'm surprisingly good this week. I had a pretty stressful weekend. Good, but stressful. There were like lots of good things. The Plan 9 show went really well.
Yeah, it did.
And I went back and I watched the fight scene because the first week it was off because somebody missed their cue. And then I went back and watched the fight scene again. And it is smooth.
Oh, it looked really good.
It was smooth.
Yeah, it looked really good. I was the only person not in it. So I just got to watch it. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah, and we didn't sell out the house, but we came really close. So that was really nice. And I don't know why, but I've been in, like, some annoying shit has happened this week, but I've also been in, like, a really good mood. I don't know. I got caught in a freak rainstorm on my way to therapy.
Yeah.
And then was like, this is fine. I'm enjoying this. Mm-hmm.
My sisters were in town, and we were at the beach when the only time we were at the beach is the only time that it rained all day.
Did you get hit by that hail?
We got really hard rain, but we couldn't tell immediately that it was hail. It was later that we were like, oh, it was probably hail. It just felt like really hard rain. And we had to take shelter in a bathroom. And then we tried to move because it stopped for a second. And then we made it about 100 feet. And we got underneath a tree and it just started downpouring. Like monsoon raining.
And so
we had to wait for
20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. It
And it was nice. Really nice after that.
I know. We were all on the way back from the beach soaking wet from the rain and we're like, man, we really got fucked on this one. We went back the next day. It was super nice. So that at least we got that done.
Yeah. And I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks, which is new for me. I know that sounds crazy because I listen to so many podcasts, but it's different and I like reading. And so I'm listening to things that I'm rereading in podcast form. So instead of rereading His Dark Materials, like I was, I'm listening to it. So that's been really fun, except for I feel woefully uninformed because I get all of my news basically from like a various set of podcasts and I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
That's so nice. So nice.
I don't know. It is causing me a little stress, but I do want to just listen to this audiobook.
There's so much, particularly right now, stressful shit happening in the news. I feel like maybe now is a good time to give yourself a little reprieve with some audiobooks. Like it's self-care or whatever.
Those words are thrown around a lot.
I know. I mostly mean it as a joke.
I know. I just, sorry. That's just like a weird thing that I noticed this week. Everything everyone is doing is quote self-care. And I was like, is it though? I don't know if being indulgent is self-care always.
Sometimes being indulgent is self-care, but like real self-care is setting your life up for success and doing things that people think are selfish so that you're in a good place. Like that's self-care.
Moments of indulgence can be like self-care, but like, I don't know. I feel like it's this like thing where people are just like self-care and it's like, you're spending money you don't have. How is that self-care?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. Fine every once in a while. Don't make it your go-to way to deal with stress.
I've been good. There's no reason for me to, like, I've been trying to be positive this week. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just in, like, an upswing. So I have had a couple bouts of insomnia, which has not been fun. But so I'm, like, a little bit more tired than usual. But, I got the news that I got another grad assistantship. It won't be till 2020, but that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And it's with one of my favorite professors. So I'm very excited. The more, like, blank audio I can get, the easier it is to, like, edit out. So, like, next time a plane comes by, we should be by so I can try and get that out, too.
I don't really notice them, so you'll have to tell me.
Yeah, it's probably because you... Mm. It's with one of my favorite professors, so I'm really excited about that. I feel I have a couple like job opportunity things on the horizon, and they might not manifest. But instead of like thinking, oh, well, I might not get this job, or instead of thinking like, if I get this job, this will happen, I'm just trying to like be like, this is opportunity. It might manifest. It might not. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do everything in my power that it will manifest. Because I feel like when job stuff happens, then I like put the cart before the horse. I put too much weight on it or feel like overwhelmed by it. And it's like, but nothing has happened. So just like mm-hmm. chill. So I'm trying to chill.
Smart. Good for you.
It's also like been pretty nice weather, which has been helpful.
Yes. It finally feels like it's turned around. Like it's finally summer, which is like a hilarious thing to say on June 27th. Like,
well, I mean, technically summer started a week ago, so.
I'm fair, but we live in an area where normally summer started in like May. So it's been very weird. Yeah. But it's super nice out now.
And I was telling Aaron my new like lunch break ritual. So I have a routine.
Ritual.
Words that can be interchanged, really.
Yeah.
Is that I only have a half hour for lunch. Technically, I can have an hour, but if I take half hour, I get to leave half hour earlier, which is obviously take that every time, mm-hmm. literally every time. So I go to the park, and then I sit on the same bench, like an old lady, Aaron said, and I read porn for half an hour, and then I go back to work, and I'm like, I'm in a better mood.
You know what? That actually is self-care. Yeah.
I was reading a porn, and two bees fucking landed on my phone, and I was like, yeah, bees. I get it.
Yes, bees. When I was at the
beach. I was like, this porn is one of my favorites that I've ever read. So let's keep going. It was a Good Omens, obviously. Like, yeah. That's what I'm reading right now. But it also was like them as like established husbands moving into a cottage, which I'm also very into. Their like established relationship. Like I've read, there's only so many like, you know, 6,000 years of tension porns that you can read. Like after a while, you want, you know, establishment. You want them buying plants and whatever. But there was like Scottish role play involved. And I was like, okay. He just knocked the microphone. I was like, oh, all the things that I love. Great.
Oh, my God. It's because I almost spit all over the microphone.
Good Omens and Kilt? Cool.
Was it made actually for you? Did you commission this pork?
Yeah, I really felt attacked by it. I was like, oh, they're buying.
I'm in this photo and I don't like it.
They're buying plants and they're.
If you don't follow Stella on Twitter, you might not know that she has a shitload of plants.
Oh, now. Instagram.
Yes.
I'm a recent plant mom.
I like your plants. They look nice. Thanks.
They're doing pretty good.
Good.
Jeremy's being kind of a dick. He could use a good yelling at, but.
I mean, that's good for him because you're giving him carbon dioxide or whatever.
It's a Good Omens show.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I haven't reread it 3 times in the last 2 weeks.
I reread it like a week before the show came out, and then I watched the show, and then I listened to the audiobook, which was a great audiobook.
Again, I have not consumed this 3 times in like the last month.
I mean, I've consumed it more. I've obviously watched the series several times.
Fair. I think it's been literally like over a decade since I read it. So I only kind I like remember the story, but I don't.
I almost wonder if you should just watch the show at this point.
Maybe, because I feel like I would really enjoy it, and like I know the story well enough that I'm not going to be like surprised by anything.
I mean, they did add a bit at the end, which is fucking great. It like really lends itself well to the story, because in the book it kind of just like ends, and they're like, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm. I like that though.
But the thing that they did in the TV show is good. The internet knows.
Yeah, I assume that that's a thing.
I did buy some Good Omens fan art already.
God damn it! It's going in our podcast room.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to put it up and see if Nick notices all of the gay art that is going up in our house.
He won't.
Yeah, he does not really. Like, we watched SmackDown in our den. He kept being like, can we go to the living room? And I was like, why? I love this room. And he was like, I don't. I was like, oh, it's because it's my room? Okay. He was like,
yeah.
He doesn't not like it, but he's like, ow. Just like, we have a living room. And I was like, but this is like the cozy nerd room.
Mm-hmm.
This is my room.
Yes. I love being in the cozy nerd room.
It's great.
It is great.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. Also, kind of the same, where I'm like, you know what?
You're in a pineapple dress?
I am in a pineapple dress. My sisters were visiting. My two youngest sisters were in town. Youngest sister just graduated from high school and is going to college soon. And my second youngest sister is...
Did they stay here?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Where? Here? In here?
No, in the living room.
Oh, okay.
We pulled the couch out and made it into a bed. And
oh, okay.
We have those jujitsu mats, so we pulled those out and then, like, built a bed on top of that.
Okay.
yeah, Jillian was like, actually, I was pretty comfortable. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm glad that worked out. We couldn't find our air mattress. I think it's in our storage unit. And so I was like, well, we'll just jimmy these together, I guess. But yeah, we planned it in like 3 days.
Yeah, when I was like, hey, can I come over to your house to record? You were like, my sisters are in town. And I was like, what?
Yeah, they asked, they were like, could we come from like either Friday to Sunday or Tuesday to Thursday? Which one would work better? And I was like, well, if you come Friday to Sunday, you'll be here for the Pride Parade. And like, I would love it if you guys came to the Pride Parade. I think that would be really great. And I would really enjoy that. And they would like go home right before we would go to Rise. I was like, that's absolutely fine if you want to do that. I also understand that you guys aren't like partiers.
And you're like babes.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know if you maybe want to be in the middle of it this year in particular, because it's the 50th anniversary and because tensions are very high right now. And so they were like, okay, we'll just come Tuesday to Thursday. And then they wound up being like the most beautiful days of our summer so far. And yeah. So we were like, well, that worked out super well. So we went to the Art Institute today as well and had lunch there and like walked around and went to the miniature throne rooms and the paperweight exhibit because I love that. yeah, it was super fun. Then I took them to the train station and came here to record. I also had my burlesque debut.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot to mention that.
Well, you kind of like bounced right away and I was like, uncharacteristic, bye.
Yeah, I was with Michael and Devin outside and Liz was out there and we were like chatting. So afterwards, I was really tired, and we didn't, like, really have a plan yet, and I wasn't sure where we were going, and...
We went literally next door.
Oh, okay. If I'd known
that,
which
worked out really well. They have food, and, like, we're gonna do that from now on.
If I had known that, I probably would have stayed, but there was just, like, loose plans to wander into Wrigleyville, and I was like, yeah, I just can't. Not tonight. I just can't do that tonight. I also, like, didn't really drink at all at the show because I was the second to last number. And so
I, like, I want to be like in it for my,
yeah, exactly. I was like, I don't want to be drunk and like fuck up my, I hit the ground on that, like, that PK thing that I, or the, it's called a plie where I kicked my legs up and then went down onto the ground. I hit that stage so hard. I gave myself a huge bruise on my hip, like really hard. And that was just me being like energetic and enthusiastic. If I had been drunk, I would have fucked myself up. Like, I don't think I could have done it if I was drunk. And so I was like, well, everyone else is kind of like way up here and I'm like kind of in the middle down here, and felt really tired. So I was like, I'm just gonna bounce. So I like said goodbye to everyone and just like bounced right away. So I think that was the right move. I like went home and like smoked some weed and decompressed and like went to bed and felt really good the next day.
Yeah, it's a big deal making your burlesque debut. Were you happy with it?
I was really happy with it. It was funny to show up and have everyone else feel more nervous for me than I actually felt for myself. And I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good sign. But I think it was just everyone was like, wow, you've been working for this company for almost 6 years. And like, now you're doing this thing that you've never done.
6 years can't be true.
Yeah, you guys have been around for 7, and I joined after your 1 year anniversary.
What?
Yeah.
But not like full time.
I was like one of the alternates for the first like year and a half. And then, yeah, like my second or third year, I started doing like every show. I wasn't at the 4 year anniversary show or the 6 year anniversary show because I was out of town for 6, and 4 was the year that I got that food poisoning. So I think that's part of it, is I'm like not in the like marker photos when I'm at like all the in-between shows.
Yeah,
because I like, it was funny to look back on all those photos from Jeff that were posted on the Plan 9 Instagram, and then I posted on mine as like the lead up to the debut. I was looking at some of them and was like, wow, this is 4.5 years old. Like, yeah, these photos are old.
Because in my recollection, that's when you kind of joined, 4.5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's about when I started working. That would be, yeah, like when I became like the full-time lead kin, yeah, raptor, whatever.
How dare you use the K word?
You're right. Full-time lead raptor.
So yeah, well, I only got to watch a little bit because I was hosting the, mm-hmm, show, so I was like in the wings.
Yeah.
Some dude came up to me and was like, are you from New York? And I was like, no. And he was like, wow, your accent was really good. Like, the A's really got me. I usually can really spot it. And in my head the whole time, I was like, have you been to New York?
Yeah, for real. I was like, what? You were speaking like a clown accent. That's the whole point.
I'm doing a literal cartoon caricature voice. And I sound ridiculous.
It's so funny. That's like when you were in Wilderness, were you, when LCC did it? How dare you scoff at that? I was in it and I got nominated for a bunch of awards because people thought I was so great. But it was the same thing. I was speaking this like really cartoonish Long Island accent and people thought it was just the greatest thing. And I was like, this is a character.
I think that my Harley accent is good. The character.
Harley's great.
Right. If he had been like made some more thing about her, but to specifically be like New York, I was like, no, I'm doing a very specific dumb thing.
Yeah. Had he never watched Batman before, maybe. He's like, I don't know what this character is supposed to be, but I hear that New York in there. Okay, bro.
I mean, technically, yeah, but also like cartoon.
Yeah.
Specifically Batman cartoon.
Yeah. It felt like the show went really well, though. Like,
yeah.
Everyone felt very positively about their numbers. No one seemed to come back and feel like, oh, this didn't go well or this cue was missed.
My number the first night went better, but I think after having looked at the videos, the show... My number and Helena's number went better the first night. Mm. And Bobby's, because his mic was off. The crowd was still into everything. And, like, the things that I noticed were, like, little, like...
Yeah.
My hair bow got caught in my pigtail. So.
So it happens after 7 years. You're like, I'm very detail-oriented now. I have to be. Like, it makes sense.
I take the hair bows out. I'm transforming into a different Harley. Very stupid. Yeah, we put a lot of work into the show, and, like, I feel like it paid off, so...
Yeah, it was very funny. Michael said that he was like, that show made me rethink whether or not I actually like burlesque. Because he doesn't come normally because he doesn't really like burlesque.
But the last one had a musical number.
And he did really like that one. And so I think that's part of his. He was like, this one was good top to bottom and like really enjoyed it. And he said that one of his favorite things was Robbie's number. And the words he used were, funnier than it had any right to be.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I was like, yeah, that's absolutely right.
I feel like that's a pretty good tagline for Plan 9.
Funnier than it has any right to be.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Ruining your childhood since 2012 is pretty good.
Yes.
Because we do a lot of cartoons.
That's why Michael was like, I don't think I like this.
Cool. Wrestling?
Wrestling. What wrestling shirt are you wearing?
I am wearing one. I am wearing my I'm a Huggers shirt because Bailey had a great week, and also it was a tank top and it's hot as hell.
Yeah, it is.
Though it's so funny because, like, obviously we've talked about, like, the wearing I'm a Hugger is, like, you know, not great. But also, yeah. Like, I wore it to work, and we've talked about it before, I'm very mean at my job. And the owner of the building and my boss, like, came in and, like, looked at me and did, like, a double take, and she went, are you? And I was like... It's a wrestling thing. It's a move. Whatever.
It's a move.
I, like, described it wrong, so it sounded way more intense because I didn't want to say belly to belly because that sounds like a terrible move.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, it's like a press slam or whatever. Cool, bye.
It's not a press slam at all.
No, it's not at all. But, like, if
but
you say
they don't
that
know
word,
that.
Belly to belly, that sounds dumb.
You say it's a bear hug slam.
Well, I just made up. I mean, I didn't make up a move. I just made up her move, and I was like, yeah, intense wrestling. Don't. Come to me or I will do that to you.
I love the idea of a teacher approaching you in a kitchen and you just fucking hug slam them right to the ground in the middle of this kitchen.
Everyone at my work was very annoying today. I'm really glad I got to read some porn because everyone was annoying the shit out of me today. So I had the lights off in the kitchen because it's got a lot of natural light and it was hot.
Yeah.
It was fucking balls hot in my kitchen. So I was like, I'm just like, I'm getting a headache. I'm just going to turn the lights off. But there's a lot of natural light. It's like, it was like this, lighter than what we are doing right now. Everyone was like, oh, why are the lights up? Oh my God, why are the lights up? You want the lights on? And I was like, get out of here.
If I wanted the lights on, they would be on.
Literally, get out of here. Take the fucking ice pack because you're terrible teachers and leave.
Oh my God.
Anyways, that's what I'm wearing. What wrestling merch are you wearing?
I'm wearing my Cole Cabana pin because he's injured.
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
He was saying on his podcast, I don't exactly remember how, but he injured his leg. I think he was taking time off just
Nick
to see.
Nick has a stress fractor.
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Something's going on. I know he's also doing, like, Edinburgh Fringe soon, so it kind of seems like the perfect time to get hurt, that you have this, like, recuperation time, like, built into your schedule.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably good. But it was the only thing that matched my dress, so that's part of why I'm wearing it.
Define match.
What was I going to do? Wear my Macho Man cape over this? I can't, like, I don't have sweaters.
You would be really hot, too.
Yeah. Fuck that. I don't want to do that. So that's why I'm wearing the Cole Cabana pin. I wanted to wear something that was, like, gay, but I don't really have gay stuff other than my gay community shirt, and it's dirty, so I couldn't really wear that.
Oh, because it's Pride Weekend.
It's Pride Weekend, and also today, June 27th, is the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. So I wanted to do something like that, but, like, truly and sincerely had nothing that I could wear, and was like, Cole Cabana! Jewish repressed. I don't know. Like there's like very little in the middle of that, but that was part of it. So that's, I wanted to say something also quickly because we have a platform and I think we should talk about this. We're going to the Pride Parade this week. We talked last week about how that was something we were thinking about because the world's on fire and it feels important right now. I realized that I didn't know this because we're not taught gay history and that's a problem and we should be. But the reason that we have the gay pride parades is because the first one was in commemoration of the Stonewall riots. And the Stonewall riots were 2 days of queer people and especially black trans women fighting back against police and pushing back against the fact that they were being targeted because it was easy to do so. And I think it's important that people demonstrate now, especially in a time of an administration that wants to fuck over black trans women, especially, like, we should be showing up and we should be kind of keeping to the same ideas. Like, it is time to fight back. It is time to press forward and say, this is fucking bullshit. And people have been saying it forever, but I think white people need to show up especially. And I think that, like we were saying last week, like, allies is a very gray concept. You need to show up even if you're straight. And like, if you actually support your gay and queer and trans family and friends, you should show up. You should really, like, if nothing else, if Pride has passed in your city and you can't do it this weekend, you should post about it. Make a post on the last Sunday. Talk about the riots. Say, like, this is important and it is a shame that we were not taught this. And it's been...
Donate money, $5, yeah, $10.
Absolutely. Donate money to organizations that are helping black trans women. That's probably where your money is the most well spent in these moments too. So I think that's really important to think about. Also, there's a reason that people say no cops at Pride. It's because Stonewall was a riot against the fucking police. And like, I understand not everyone feels the same way I do about the police and that there are people who think that it's only bad apples and that there are good cops.
There are so many bad apples.
Yeah, and like, I think that they're probably, I think it's the reverse. I think people think that it's like, there are only a couple of bad apples.
No, it's the reverse.
I think there are only a couple of good apples, and I really truly think like there are certain kinds of police who really truly want to help people but are bound by a system that's guided by racism and sexism and misogyny and homophobia and basically anything that's not cis white dudes and straight white dudes.
Yeah, I mean, it's guided by white supremacy and patriarchy.
Absolutely, 100%. And so I understand that not everyone feels as strongly as I do, but when the reason this Pride Parade started was to commemorate a riot where the police tried to abuse a bunch of gay and trans people, don't have the fucking police march in Pride. At the first Pride Parade, the police were there to escort the parade and make sure that there was no violence done to them. That's fine. They have to also understand that they're participating in something that was started because of the fucking police and sign on for that. And like, that's fine. That's okay. Police marching in Pride is unfucking acceptable. It should not happen. The whole thing started because the police are terrible to people who are oppressed. And the idea that people can just be like, it's only a couple of bad apples, like, just shut up. It's better to just not say anything about why you personally think that police should be at Pride. Just don't. And I understand people don't know the history and like truly and sincerely don't know that it was because police attacked a gay bar and that's the whole fucking reason we have Pride. Like, I understand that people don't know that and can react in kind of a like reactionary way of like, fuck you for talking about the police like that. But just don't. Just don't let people be angry that police are there. Like, yeah, they should be there to protect us, but they're fucking not. And a lot of times they are the reason that people get hurt. And so just keep that in mind over Pride weekend and like celebrate and be happy to be there. And if there is unrest, understand that it's warranted maybe. And if you don't want to be there when that kind of stuff goes down, you can leave. And that's okay. And it's not bad to think of your own personal safety. That's self-care. But like, also understand why some people are fucking mad and that if they're not the ones doing the wrong things here by being angry and taking action. Like, we would not have the rights that queer people have right now if Stonewall had not happened. And it was direct action against police in that case. So just keep that in mind. And, like, everyone be safe and do what you're comfortable with. and understand that other people have different limits, both directions. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to make all my friends chant no cops at Pride, but if I yell no cops at Pride at somebody, like, I think people will understand too. Like, I'm not going to get anyone have a bottle thrown at them. I'm not dumb, but I'm also, like, unhappy about cops marching in Pride, and I'm not the only one. And, like, I understand how to be part of that and not, again, try to bring people up to my level of radicalism. But also, like, if I saw people attacking people, I wouldn't be ready to jump into that either. And so, like, I understand why there's, like, a big... There's a rainbow of rages of things happening at these
parades.
Rainbow
of rages.
Yes, exactly. Oh, man. If that isn't...
if that gotta be something.
Oh, man. That is, like, 2019 in a nutshell. Rainbow of rages. Okay, now we talked about gay stuff, so let's move on to wrestling. News. What are important things we should be talking about this week?
The Evolve show running on an AEW thing, the Fighter Festival, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah, no. Fighter Fight.
Wait, is that Fighter... this Saturday?
Yes. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
I don't care about either of those things.
I don't care about either of those things either! Everyone's, like, freaking out about both of them, and truthfully, like... If you have to pick one, watch the AEW show because their streaming doesn't exist right now. And so you can...
And isn't that one free, Fighter Fest?
I think so, but I'm not sure because, again, I don't care. They didn't really announce it as an AEW event because it's not, actually. I'ma be stripping.
I'ma be stripping.
I was going to go to the AEW show and was like, you know what? Where I don't want to be when it's this hot? At an AEW show.
AEW show.
Yes, AAW.
Sorry, you just...
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's hard.
No, I get it. That's why I corrected you. That's why I'm here to correct you.
Yes, I know. That is your role. You are the corrector.
Yeah, but everybody was flipping nuts about it.
Yeah, and I understand that some people are upset because the Evolve show.
Do you mean Kenny Omega?
Yes.
I don't follow that bitch on Twitter for a reason.
I don't follow him on Twitter either. I think it's...
That's a messy hoe.
That is a messy hoe. You are correct. Absolutely. That's one of those things where, like, I understand that you can't control who your fans are. Like, I get that.
Kinda,
yes. But, like, you like U2, and you understand that U2 fans are garbage. Like,
are they?
Yes.
I'm not...
You said that yourself when you saw them in concert.
I don't remember this. I'm not into U2 fandom.
Right.
I just like the band U2. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't come for me. Bono is great. That band is great.
That man is messy. He a messy hoe as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
It's Bono.
Yeah, but exactly.
But I'm not into the fandom, so I don't really know the, like.
Oh, yeah.
Because there are certain things that I'm like. Into the thing and the fandom, really good omens.
Yes. He has a lot of... Okay, here's the thing. I'm not really sure how to...
explain Kenny Omega.
No, that's not really what it is. It's... I understand that people can't choose their fans, and I understand that certain people gravitate towards certain kinds of performers of all different kinds of entertainment types. This is like weird. This is many years later. I don't feel like bad talking about this, but this is a conversation I had with Colt Cabana once about, I don't know if people remember this. There's absolutely no reason to drag this back up. So let's not do this in a negative way. He made a joke on Twitter about the Young Bucks releasing leggings, and it was a joke, but it didn't read as a joke. And it read as like, why would you make merch for women basically? And it was shitty and people were angry and for good reason. And part of the reason that people were angry at the time is because he had a bunch of incel fans jump up in the comments and be like, yeah, that's right. Fuck these bitches.
Fuck
and
women
they'll be
watching wrestling. They're ruining my wrestling.
They're all fat and gross and they're going to wear these leggings and we'll have
to. Silas Marner syndrome. Silas Marner. That's a book. Silas Young.
Yes. Yes.
What an interesting wrestling concept if you were just Silas Marner.
It's okay. the Silas Young and Dummy. What the fuck is his name?
That works for me.
Dummy.
To be honest.
The Dummy? Yeah, exactly. It's that syndrome where you're like, yeah. But a bunch of people like jumped up in the comments and were like, yeah, fuck, misogyny. And he didn't address it in any way. And people got really angry about it. And we chatted for a while about why that was bad. And like, sometimes you've got to show up and demonstrate that you can check your fans. And like, if you don't, you're making a decision not to do that.
It's that Taylor Swift thing where it's like, I'm not happy that a bunch of people think that I'm a Nazi, so, or I'm like speaking to them, but I'm not going to call them out on it. So I'm going to get money from the Nazis and from the gays. And it's like, yes. No, that's not how this works, bitch.
Exactly.
But now she's gone full tilt the other way where she's like performing it, whatever. Taylor Swift is
whatever. Best. Yeah.
This is not a T-Swift podcast.
Yeah. No. So it's, I think that's the problem with Kenny is that he does not check his fans in any way. And he has the T-Swift problem where it's like, or the former T-Swift problem of I want to have my cake and eat it too. And so it reads in a way where it's like, listen, bro, I understand if you're mad about whatever might actually be happening, like politically, corporately. I understand that you're part of this board and like get this information in a way that we don't and like may know at a different level that it is malicious, but we don't know that. And also when you don't do this other shit, because the whole thing is he was like, oh well, you're comfortable taking blood money, blah 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 blah, and it's like, bro. So I think that's the biggest problem with Kenny is that he was right. Like, he's right that this company is shitty and takes a bunch of evil shit and like may also have been doing this political corporate move to take time away from this fundraiser for gun rights. I don't think he's wrong about that. But when we don't have the same information that you do and what you're presenting is a very hypocritical face when you don't come and check your own shit.
Yeah.
Like, that I think was what more people were angry about and that kind of made him backpedal about that. And so, yes, that is what I was talking about. But it's also like, I do agree with him. I think he's probably right that it probably is not an innocent mistake, just as WWE running their UK show on the same day as AEW's other pay-per-view. Like, it doesn't really feel like a coincidence when it's happened twice.
No,
like,
it really gives a shit about NXT UK, so.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't give a shit about Evolve either. And so I think that that's part of it, is that these two particular brands draw the same kinds of fans as AEW.
True.
And I think that that's clearly what's happening, is that it's all chess. And like, also speaking of chess moves, fucking, I think this is a terrible move. I understand why people think it's a good move.
Awful.
But now it's been officially announced that
awful.
Paul Heyman is going to be in charge of Raw.
Boo.
And Eric Bischoff is going to be in charge of SmackDown.
Okay. At face value, part of me can be like, Paul Heyman is a genius.
Yeah.
He also still works there, and he's also still been around wrestling for a long time. And as much as I'm not like a Paul Heyman fan, if they were like, Paul Heyman takes control of creative, I would be like, cool, actually. But when you bring Eric Bischoff in, it's like, oh, you guys don't know what's going on and you're freaking out and you just brought Eric Bischoff in.
Yeah. And
again, it doesn't work.
And what they...
Fucking why don't you just bring Russo back?
And I bet Vince Russo's like, it's coming any day. It's like, I think the thing that's very frustrating, like you're saying, they're... I understand.
How are you going to have two separate things and then also have this wild card nonsense?
Oh, there's no way that wild card shit's going to stick. I think that this is their answer to keeping the brand split, is being like, well, we have this very exciting thing that we're doing.
I think wild card is definitely what a part of their Fox deal, because Fox was like, you don't have enough people on the show that we bought that are big stars. And they're like, but what about wild card?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it continues on going from here. The thing that's bizarre is that it's clear, like you were saying, I understand if they had put Heyman in charge of stuff. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. He is a genius in many ways. And I think that he has smart ideas. And I understand that a lot of the time, the creative being taken away from the direction that he set is not always his fault. Sometimes they just don't pan out. And sometimes it's Vince and whatever. But also, when you bring him back with Eric Bischoff, it's clear that you're not trying to capitalize on the landscape of new fans.
Yeah.
You're just trying to bring back people who stopped watching 10 years ago.
I just don't understand. You've tried this rehash bit and it is good for a momentary pop in ratings and then it doesn't work. So why don't we, I don't know, try something new?
Absolutely. Well, I think part of it too is everyone keeps saying like, oh, this is amazing. Paul's taking over Raw. Eric's taking over SmackDown. They're totally in charge of everything. No, my friend. It was specifically included in this announcement that they both answer to Vince. So nothing has changed. Just the person who's reporting to Vince has changed. Vince still gets to control it. Vince still gets to say, this is good shit. Vince still gets to turn a noun into a prop. Like, there's nothing stopping him from doing anything. Nothing has changed to make a check system exist. Like, this is fucking Nancy Pelosi deciding that we don't impeach people for rape now. Like, we're not getting into that. But, like, it's that same idea of, like, this is literally supposed to be a checks and balance system. And when you're saying, I don't know what my role is here, like, it feels like if you don't know what your role is here, maybe you shouldn't be the one doing this role. And also, like, if your check system is just the same person, I find it so frustrating. Like, Vince is still there. Nothing has changed. Like, it's not 2003. Like, it's not.
Are you sure?
It fucking feels like it. You're right. It does feel like
Taker's
it.
Taker's back again.
Oh my
God. Shane McMahon's all over everything.
Man.
There are more women.
There
that,
are.
That seems different.
There are more women. They're not in lingerie. That's different.
Seth Rollins being a little bitch.
Yeah, Seth Rollins is being a little bitch. It is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The whole thing is embarrassing. Like, you're both being... I understand it's your job.
The Ospreay thing?
Yeah, and, like, I understand you both are... This is what you do for a living. But, like, it feels like your mom needs to come collect both of you. Like, get... No, stop this.
I'm really sick of artists writ large. When people levy criticism against them, being like, well, you don't wrestle, so you don't get it. Or you don't make music, so you don't get it. Well, have you ever made a movie? You don't get it. Like, cultural criticism, art criticism is important and is also a part of it. And also without, like, wrestling fan blogs and stuff like that, like, your product wouldn't be as popular. Like,
yes.
People read reviews and then go to movies. People
yes.
read, like... It's a part of the thing, and, like, instead, like, sometimes, you know, I used to be an actor, I got reviews and stuff, and sometimes I would be like, fuck, but I never wrote a blog post about it, and also sometimes I listened.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, just listen.
And also, like, if you can't...
Your entire fan base is not your entire, but you're, like, the majority of your fan base is not always wrong. Re-give Divas a chance, or the mm-hmm. Moolah stuff, or, you know, any number of things, like... There are valid criticism, and, like, obviously, like, the tweet that I sent on the Cage Fight account was just me being a snarky asshole because I used a Donald. I think the Donald Duck gif is what really put him
yeah,
over the edge.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so, like, it wasn't like a well thought out criticism, but it's also like, bitch, like, an hour earlier you were like best wrestling in the world, and then you had an appalling match with Baron Corbin in the main event of a pay per view. Like,
yeah.
You are a hypocrite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you don't follow this on Twitter, Stella, who is the person who runs the Cage Side account.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse, made a joke about LOL, isn't it hilarious that Seth Rollins said that WWE has the best wrestling on the planet. And then he had a bitch fit about it. Like, really had a fit
but
about
I
it.
I was just, we were just a part of, like, a role of bitch fitting. Because he had the bitch
yeah.
fit with Ospreay and other fans. Like, we were
just, like.
I thought
that the Cage Side one was the one that sparked it. Because it wasn't
no,
until.
He was doing it earlier,
oh,
too.
Okay. All right. I thought it was later in the night that the Will Ospreay thing happened. Because Will is on
I don't
Japan
know.
Time.
To be honest, I didn't even know it had happened for, like, a very long time. Because I work. And then I go on the Twitter and I'm like, okay. Thanks for the new follower, Seth.
Yeah, like, this did not work the way that you thought it was going to work. It was
but
so
also
weird.
Like, you can critique criticism. Again, mine was
yeah,
a
yeah.
snarky comment or whatever. But, like, that is also part of the job of being an artist, is being critiqued.
Yeah, if you genuinely think the only people who can critique you are people who have done your job, then who the fuck are you performing for? Is it just
yes,
your coworkers?
Yes.
Like, what
who
is this masturbatory
for?
Bullshit? Like, yeah, you have an audience and your audience is allowed to respond to it. And you know what? The fact that they don't wrestle is good because they have to be able to watch something and be like, I don't fucking
who
get
do
it.
Who you perform for?
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, I felt that way as an actor a lot, where it's the same thing that you're saying, where people, I would get criticism sometimes where it's like, either you didn't connect with my performance or you don't actually like this, and that's okay. And, like, it's hard to hear that stuff and to feel like, oh, it's me and
but
it means that
I'm...
But
also part of being a performer or an artist or whatever mm-hmm. is being able to discern valid criticism.
Yes.
And not. Like, that is part of the thing.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Or, like, what is going to inform you and what is not. Like...
I saw,
never write a response.
Yeah, I saw a really...
Honestly, if you're pissed about it, do something, do better,
absolutely.
Prove them wrong.
Absolutely, 100%. One of the best pieces of advice that I ever saw, it was, I don't remember who, I remember it was a black woman on Twitter, because they're smart and we should all listen to black women because they tell us that the apocalypse is coming and we don't listen for some reason. But it was in a Feminisa Jones thread that women were like talking back and forth about stuff. And a woman said, I never understand why you listen to criticism from people that you wouldn't take advice from. And like, that I think is the heart of it. Like, criticism is advice. And if you are like listening to someone give you criticism and you're like, this doesn't make sense, this doesn't actually connect with what I'm doing, you're misreading this or whatever, like you said, don't type a response. Like, you can sort that stuff yourself.
Well, also the next level bit about it is that he like talked about how like Dean took his ball and went home. I was like, somebody
fucking, how dare you, dude? You work with his wife.
Somebody working through their entire contract, mm-hmm. doing everything that is asked of them, mm-hmm. and then at the end of their contract not resigning is not really taking your ball and going home.
No, not at all. Like, he fulfilled all of his responsibilities. Neville took his ball and went home. That's different.
He went somewhere else immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. He literally didn't go home. He went to Japan. Like, that's not the same thing at all.
Well, in that way, took his ball and went home. And right. Like,
Sasha took her ball and went home. And you know what? They both deserve to do that. That's fucking fine.
I have
fine.
No criticisms about that either.
Absolutely. I 100% understand why they did that and support those.
My one criticism is like, why don't you take your ball to a courthouse?
Absolutely. Take your ball to a courthouse.
Stomping Grounds was pretty good. But had some big flaws.
Yeah.
It's not that it wasn't good. It was so, it was just middle of the road, right? Like,
but it's supposed to be. That's what's Lacey's frustrating about match these.
The Lacey Becca thing, which opened, was particularly frustrating because Lacey, when she's on offense, is pretty okay. Mm-hmm. She's not a good partner. And it was so glaringly obvious. Like, there was the one part that like always comes to my mind. So she did the handkerchief bit, and then Becky grabbed the handkerchief and Mandible clawed it.
Nice.
Which was like, yeah, like a great rally moment. And it was supposed to be this like turning point of the match. And then Becky went to like punch her a bunch, and Lacey like couldn't take the punch. She like weird, like it's not like she no-sold it. It was just weird. And it like ruined the baller moment of a thing. You could hear him calling it the whole time. Lacey missed a bunch of things. Lacey made Becky look really bad. Conversely, she made Becky look really good because Becky, like, carried her on her back.
Yeah.
But, like, that was very frustrating. The Baron Corbin-Seth Rollins match was dumb, especially with Lacey. Like, as... I didn't mind Lacey as the ref because, like, that's actually good storytelling.
Yeah.
And if they're going to set up for a mixed tag, like, fine, whatever. I don't mind mixed tags. Like, if I liked Lacey more, I would be more intrigued with this. Like, I don't love that they're doing... IRL Becky and Seth, but if they're gonna do it, like,
but they were gonna, we knew it right, was gonna happen.
But they're
doing it,
and they're honestly like, Seth is looking like a little bitch, and she's looking like amazing. So
it's
like,
crazy, like
it's best case scenario if we gotta call them, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah, I agree, and it's so bizarre too that it's like, I think it really speaks to how fucking good Becky is. That's just like, literally, no matter what they do, she always comes out looking stronger. And this was clearly supposed to be like, we're going to bring Seth up. You're going to look like this great power couple. But then here's Seth having a bitch fit on the internet for like 4 hours and like looking like a whiny little baby. And
her tweet response also was good.
Her tweet response was better than what sounds like their entire match. And so like, that's, it's hard where it's like, why is Becky constantly saddled with this shit? And I'm glad it's with someone she likes and clearly enjoys being around and is like happy to travel with. And like, that's good. That means that their chemistry is real. And I'm really happy that that's the case. But at the same time, like, why is this necessary? I understand how people are frustrated with that. Like,
yeah.
Becky should be able to do this on her own. But you're right. Like, a pay-per-view in the middle between SummerSlam, it makes sense that they're doing this as a mixed tag. Though that means we're probably going to get fucking Lacey versus Becky at SummerSlam, which is like, Jesus Christ.
Drew won the belt.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Gulak is a 205 champ, which was great. I actually really liked Roman and Drew McIntyre's match up until the point where Shane McMahon got involved. It was way better than the WrestleMania match. There was like a brutality to it. I like, even though I really liked it, and I'm predisposed to like that.
Yeah.
But I really did enjoy it. I thought the Bayley-Alexa match was really good. And it's very clear that Alexa post-concussion was like, if I'm going to come back, I'm going to come back better.
Good.
Also, it coming out that both her concussions were caused by Ronda Rousey.
Dude. Dude.
Nia Jax does like a couple things and everyone freaks out. And there are reasons to freak out.
But yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
Nobody's bitching about Ronda.
Ronda injured six women. Six. All of them. Every fucking woman that she came into contact with has been injured by her. Allegedly, because we don't know what their actual medical reports are. But that also came out that like all of the women who have been injured, basically other than Becky being punched by Nia, were basically all Ronda.
Yeah.
And Brie kicking Liv very hard in the face.
Yeah.
But like, that's fucked up. And I was talking to Leave It Be on Twitter about, it is especially fucked up that WWE like could have mitigated for that and could have like done work to stop her horrible impact on all of this. And all these people and people are freaking out about other people injuring people, but like they're just letting it slide that this is a thing that Ronda did. And like, because Ronda left, we can just not talk about it. And she's just gone. And like, I truly and sincerely hope she never fucking comes back. And I hope that this is a push in that direction, that more people would be like, no, stop injuring all the women we like. Like, I think that's hopefully a huge part of her never returning. But it's fucked up that you like, how do you cause two concussions and get no repercussions? Fucking none. You get to continue being the champion and being the face of the women's division and basically the company because Roman is gone. Like, that's just horrific. It shows how much they don't value their women and think that they're disposable.
Yeah.
Like, it's all horrible.
Wrestlers in general.
Well, yes, definitely. But, yeah. But like, the women especially that, like, they do this with the men, and Shane McMahon is an example of this, where, like, here's a celebrity. Wink with Shane, because he's Vince's son's celebrity status, but like, here's a celebrity, we're gonna plop him in, they're gonna be the person who has the only belt in the division. Like, that's the other thing with her, that at the time she was the only one, because the women's tag titles didn't exist for most of the time that she was there.
On Raw.
And so that, like, I think that's a huge part of it, is that because it was the only belt, it felt even more egregious that this woman is just dropped into the middle of this and given no repercussions for any injury she causes.
Yeah, I mean, it's super fun. But what I was saying is that her wrestling now coming back has been really good. And the match that she had with Bayley was really good.
Alexa, not yeah, Ronda.
Alexa. It was really good. And I love all the stuff she's doing with Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross is getting like a lot of screen time, a lot of character development. So the Stomping Ground match ended with Bayley with a win because like Nikki got involved because she like saw red and like interfered and then distracted and then Alexa got pinned. And then Nikki and Alexa had a tag match with Naomi and Natalya on Monday Night Raw, which was pretty good. And it was nice to see Natty and Naomi.
Yeah.
Naomi looked fucking amazing.
Did you see those, like, original gimmick photos, now gimmick, like, glow-up photos that people were posting today?
Literal glow?
Yes, basically, where it was like, everyone looks amazing. Oh, my God. I had not seen Naomi's original gear before, where she has that like short pompadour with like the leather and shit, and those like spiked gloves. I was looking at it and I was like, yes, she did glow up. She looks very happy. And like, I love her look now, but also like, I'd be kind of okay if you brought this back.
Naomi's always hot.
Yeah. She's always looked fucking hot. She's like thicker now in like a muscular way too. So it like contributes to that glow, obviously. But like, girl, go back to the leather. You look great. I'm into it. Find leather that glows. I'm into that.
So that match was pretty good. And then on SmackDown, Nikki had where she was like, I know I messed up your chance or whatever, but I got it. So if I beat Bayley tonight, you get to wrestle her at the next pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which like I think is great because that's really good. Like Alexa's clearly manipulating Nikki. Nikki is buying into it. She's going out of her way to like please Alexa, but it hasn't crossed into that creepy Mickey James territory.
Right,
more like, no one noticed me, and then you noticed me, and now I get to
I'm
be
your
on
puppy.
TV.
Yeah.
But I get to be on TV, and I get to wrestle and stuff. Yeah. And seeing her, like, be a puppy dog, but also, like, fight that crazy energy. And when it comes out, it affects shit. And, like, I don't know. I really liked it. And then she won against Bayley, like, in, like, a good match. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exciting.
Yeah, I agree. And it's nice, too, that even though it feels like the women's stuff has been really reduced, like, LOL, what are the women's tag titles? But also, like, I like that this stuff feels developed in a way that a lot of the women's stuff doesn't and hasn't for a really long time. But, like, this feels like good storytelling for at least these two characters,
it's
which
weird,
is nice.
Because there was, like, a lot of good men's tag stuff, both Raw and SmackDown. And then it's just the women's tag stuff is like, oh, they're in a commercial. A commercial that they should be way meaner to the salesperson for. Like, that's their character. They
yeah, that's like their whole deal.
That whole time I'm like, why are you being nice to her? You should be mean to her. I mean, you shouldn't be mean to salespeople, but the Iconic should
but
be
their
mean.
Heels. Yeah, they should
Iconic
be.
Iconic should be mean to salespeople.
Yeah.
There was the Ember Moon and Sonya Deville thing. Like, they've been teasing that storyline. I really like this storyline. The match was way too long or way too short. And Ember lost pretty quickly. And then they
it was by distraction by Mandy too. Like, that's part of it, but, is that there's like interference. Yeah,
but then they tease like a gay storyline. And I'm really uncomfortable with it because it's like, I don't really need gay best friend falls in love with her straight girlfriend.
No. The way that the only way that story
they
works.
They were like,
is
yeah,
if,
yeah, yeah. And then Sonya like put her hair behind, like her hand behind her, and like put Mandy's hair behind her ear. And it was like,
no.
Yeah.
The only way those stories work is if it's the other way around. If the straight girl falls in love with her gay best friend. That's the only way to do not two gay people in a love story. Like, truly, I don't need to see gay girl pines after woman she can't have. I don't need to see gay boy pines after straight man he can't have. Like, that's fucked up. Have more fucking gay characters if you want to tell those stories. Or do it in a different way. Like, it makes... If you want to make Mandy canonically gay in the way that the Iconics are... That's cool. I'm fine with that. But I don't need to see her be like, no gay friend. I understand I'm super hot and you're in love with me, but I don't like to lick pussy. Like, I don't want to fucking see that. Like, that is not interesting at all. And especially, like, fuck you for doing that during Pride. Like, be a little more goddamn self-aware. Like, that's part of it, too. That's part of why people were pissed about Beth, Seth, and Becky. That, like, why are we throwing this... A lot of people say, oh, well, we don't throw straight relationships in anyone's faces, which
that's
is
all
fucking
straight people
garbage.
Do.
It's not at
Have
all
Have you seen a pregnant woman?
Have you seen any kind of television or movies? Like, it's ridiculous.
It's
like,
because when something is, quote, normative, then yeah. It's like, well, we don't throw it in your face. But when something is non-normative, you notice it more.
Yeah.
Because you don't see it every day. That's why, like... Gender representation and race representation is really important in media because you're fighting a norm. Mm-hmm, you fight it until it is the norm.
Absolutely. That's literally what my senior thesis was about at school. Like, that's, it's so important and it's cyclical. The more you put representation into entertainment and media, the more people realize that people are fucking human and then they treat them better. And like, when people are treated better, more of them gets normalized into media and entertainment. It just goes on and on and on. And so this idea that like here during Pride, when we have this great opportunity, like, we're not doing the stuff that we do during normal history months where here's
a
bunch
doing
of
like gay.
Yeah. Here's a bunch of gay wrestlers and here's a bunch of history about gay people inside of the wrestling.
Like, let's do a Harvey Milk spotlight.
Yeah.
Like we do fucking
MLK. Yeah. Which is important. And we should be talking about MLK, but we should also be talking about Harvey Milk and he should be included in this kind of shit. Like, and the idea that they're partners with GLAAD
WWE
and that's good
shouldn't
enough.
Be talking about MLK.
No, they fucking shouldn't,
they
but if they're going to be...
They don't get it and they don't back it up. It's just like corporatization of like...
Though I do think... I agree. I absolutely think you're correct. But
if you're
going to
show
there's...
your wrestlers at an MLK museum, show the white people. Make the white people go.
The white people should be the ones that are experiencing this because
or,
it's...
you know, a mix of people. I don't know. It's dumb. They don't think about it. They
just
do it.
They're dumb about it. But I will say that I do think that there's something about presenting it to... the massive audience that they have.
Well, yeah, but they have a platform, but they don't use it well.
They don't use it well, but the fact that they do anything with it, I would rather that they do that than do absolutely nothing, because they've also started doing, like, Mexican Heritage Month, because, hello, it's fucking wrestling, and they should be doing that. Like, that's super important. Wrestling. So I feel like that's kind of the deal with
this. They do Black History Month, they do Mexican History.
They do Women's History Month.
Women's History. But man, they're not touching gay history with a 10-foot pole, huh?
Exactly, and yet they're like, we're partners with GLAAD, and that's fucking fold good enough. They could fold it, it's fine. So I think that's part of it, is that I wish that they did that. I think it would be really important if they fucking did that.
Yeah, let's just watch Becky slap Seth's ass.
Yeah, and like, that's the whole
let's
thing.
Let's watch
is
Becky peg him, and then I'll be fine with it.
Absolutely, cool, let's do some non-normative shit. I'm into this. She
if
walks out, she's like, yo, I got my bag with me.
Well.
Right? Exactly. I'm into that. I hope they do that. That would be great, actually.
What if they had a sex tape release and it was just all pegging? That would be amazing if it was consensual, obviously.
I would not watch it if it was not
unless
consensual,
they were
but...
like, we quit WWE because we're going into porn, watch our pegging video.
oh my God, how much fucking, you know, they release one video that you just have to pay to be on their, like a $20 level on their Patreon. They would make millions of dollars.
Yeah, they could retire.
They could literally retire. They could retire right now, let's get honest. But like, if you're like, I just can't be part of this company anymore. Like, you guys, make a Patreon for your porn. We would all be in.
Specifically your pegging porn.
Yeah, mostly your pegging porn.
I only want to see pegging porn. I only want to see Peggy in the dominant
position. Yeah. I don't necessarily need all pegging all the time, but I do need her in the dominant position.
agreed.
So I think that's a huge part of this, that it's like, it feels especially offensive that we're getting like fake gay cliche storyline and here's all of our straight people with their IRL relationships, because they do it with every other fucking couple too. All of the straight couples get included in this shit. And so I think it's like, be smarter and better about this, but like, we've always said that and we will always say that then, now, forever, because that's the company fucking WWE is. And like, I'm hoping that in these new wars that are about to fucking are happening, I mean, you poof at it, but it's true. They're treating it like a war.
Yeah.
And they want to destroy AEW. And I think that they don't understand that it's not a time where that's going to happen, especially on the timeline that they think it's going to happen. And like, I want to see AEW be aware of this kind of shit. And they
should put a muzzle on Kenny.
Well, but also they have been very good. We said before, t-shirt company time, that they have to back shit up. But like, their women's division and the queer people who are part of their company, like, I hope that when this comes next year and they have a television deal, they're smart and they do recognize like, June is a month where we should be focusing on this kind of stuff because it's important. And we want to show that as a company that this is our value. And like, that's how you tear people away. Like we said before, WWE is focusing on people who left wrestling that they want to bring back. AEW is thinking about the rapidly changing demographics of the landscape of wrestling fans, which truthfully aren't really that rapidly changing. We all been here. We've been here forever. But now we're thought of as people who they can get money from. And in this capitalist society, we're thought of as a valuable...
Capitalism!
We're thought of as like a valuable market. But you know what? That's a good time to like demand rights too, when you're treated as a valuable demographic who spends money. Yeah, that's how you do that.
Yeah. I mean, capitalism, like we said, I think last week, is the one true god. So like, you maybe want to be a part of the game. If you want rights.
Mm-hmm. Which sucks ass.
You can rail against it, but like,
I would rather use it to get rights for myself and then destroy it from the inside. Like, I don't think there is any other way to do it, especially here in this country. That is an enormous swamp that we can't get ourselves out of. But like, I would rather be treated like a human. Like, truthfully, like, if I have to participate in this system, I would at least rather not be afraid I'm going to go to jail all the time. Like, that does mean something. Riled up on the podcast again.
I think that's what we do.
Yeah, you're right. That is what we do.
Any other thoughts? I think we have some questions.
We do have questions. Let's do those.
Okay.
Oh, here's a NYD summer reading list recommendation. I read a fucking amazing book this last week called Mouthful of Birds. It's a series of essays. It was nominated for the 2019 Man Booker Prize. That's why I decided to read it. It's like Amy Bender meets George Saunders meets Zachary Schomburg. It's this like, all of the stories are these like, everything exists mostly normally, except for this like one piece of magical reality. Kind of like, Gabriel Marquez, 100 Years of Solitude. That kind of
that
idea.
That book is so good.
Yeah, that idea of like, everything is mostly normal, but here's this like weird shit we're just not going to explain at all. And she was so fucking good at it. She was originally from Buenos Aires and writes in Spanish, but lives in Berlin now. And so she has everything translated into German and into English. And it's so good. I cannot recommend it enough. Literally, if you can only read one story, read Butterflies from Mouthful of Birds. It was her first name is Samantha. I don't have her last name in front of me. She's on the Man Booker list. It's very easy to find this. Mouthful of Birds. It's holy shit. Butterflies is literally like 4 pages, and I got to the end of it and was like, oh, no. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. It fucked me up. I sat on my couch and read it for the whole day. I just couldn't stop. Like, I went to the beach.
Just, kept reading it?
Yeah. I went to the beach and I read one story and then got rained out. And so I was like, I'll come back and I'll read once I'm here. And I couldn't stop. Every single story is better than the next one. The whole thing is fucking great. You would really like it. I had to request it from the library. There's not a huge hold list on it, but it's fucking good.
I'm currently reading 2 short story books, so.
I mean, I know. I'll get to it. That's... If you get to the end of one, you're like, I need more short stories. Like, Mouthful of Birds was really, really fucking good. I also read, you may have read this, A Study in Emerald. It's a Neil Gaiman.
The Sherlock Holmes thing?
Yeah, I pulled it off a shelf at the library and was like, oh, this cover's cool. And I like Neil Gaiman's comic books. I'll check this out. And like, didn't read anything about it. And so I opened it, not knowing what it was about. And it was like, what the fuck is this? Because it's like unclear whether or not at first the Cthulhu that the... not Watson, but Watson-esque character sees, whether it's real or not, that he sees in Afghanistan. And then it's like, oh no, this is just the world they exist in. Like, it's Sherlock Holmes meets H.P. Lovecraft. And I really liked it. And I liked that...
It's like the most Neil Gaiman thing.
I liked the ending, too, that there's this, like, crossover into the world that we know better. Like, I just thought it was really good. And I really liked the art style. It's not a style that I would normally gravitate towards, but it was so well done that I was like, I'm super into this. So... Those are my NYD reading recommendations for the last week.
I'm still reading the same stuff.
Listen, you're reading Good Omens. It's cool. No,
I'm not reading Good Omens.
You're listening to Good Omens.
I'm listening to His Dark Materials and reading Plantagenets and Bobcat and 10% Happier.
Which one's the Amy Bender one?
I bought the Amy Bender one. I haven't started that one.
Okay.
It's like a backup. Short stories.
I should just read it.
Yeah, you can. And then Ray gave me a Kelly Link short stories, and she was like, you have to read this.
Okay. Well, when you're done with that, I'll read that too. Okay.
Hello, I hope you are doing well. I was just curious if you have a favorite match to determine a number one contender for a singles title, as well as a least favorite. My favorite would be something the WWE and Impact Wrestling have both done of late. 2 separate triple threat or fatal four-way matches. The winners of those matches meet in a one-on-one. The winner of that match is the number one contender. I like both the playoff sports vibe of the whole thing and the fact that a wrestler would really have to, quote, earn it within a narrative of these matches. My least favorite would be Beat the Clock. I really can't put a finger on why, but I really don't like the concept. But that's me. Your picks? Thanks again for your time. Chad.
Ooh, that's a really good question.
I think the playoff style, like, tournament ones are always the best.
Because
you
agree.
Get more wrestling.
Yeah, you get more wrestling and you get better wrestling because you get these matchups that you maybe necessarily wouldn't get before, which is also exciting and I really enjoy. Yeah, I think that that's probably my favorite to determine a number one contender. I also hate Beat the Clock. I don't know that I would have thought that off the top of my head unless you had said
that. Beat the Clock sucks.
But it sucks ass.
I mean, there's so many matches in Impact's history that suck. King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain sucks,
but it sucked. When they tried to do the Grand Championship stuff, that sucked.
Yeah, that stuff all sucks.
I don't like any on a pole matches, contract on a pole. Like, the only one that worked for me was Impact Feast or Fired because somebody got fired.
Yeah, you need more than just
like
the
thing. Contract on a pole sucks.
I like Money in the Bank, but like that's kind of one
Brock
of those.
Brock doesn't win.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is it can be like abused in a way that I don't really care for. That's...
Probably my least favorite is when somebody grabs a mic and goes, hey, I want to fight you. And then they're like, okay.
My least favorite number one contender strategy is being Shane McMahon.
Correct.
Yeah. I think that actually is the answer.
Okay. This is from Joe. After last week's episode, I feel like this is obvious, but fan cast wrestlers as characters from Good Omens.
You're going to have to do this. This is like Sailor Moon. I only remember enough to be like, yes, I have read that thing and remember it.
Man, I just feel like it's hard.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go by characters. You're going to give me an archetype, and then we can work through this.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Sergeant Shagwell is a old Scottish witch finder who is the only one, and he only cares about killing witches and how many nipples they have, and he only drinks tea with condensed milk and 9 sugars. And he calls everyone whore.
Oh, my God. I cannot think of his last name. Pat Patterson.
Great. Works for me. Pulsifer is like a virgin nerd who ruins computers.
Will Ospreay.
Okay. Anathema Device is a professional descendant, which means she lives her life by prophecies told by her 300-year-old grandmother, and is also like a witch and is like pretty but not pretty.
Oh, I wish I didn't tack that on at the end because I had an idea and it kind of fits, but now I feel like a dick.
Oh, you can say it.
Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte is pretty but not pretty.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly.
Absolutely fair.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think she's beautiful and she photographs very well, but like,
she has
a
confidence. Well, no, Anathema has like a pretty hardcore confidence too.
Yeah, she, like before you even got to that, I was like, oh, Charlotte, okay, that fits for me.
The Antichrist, aka Adam Young, who was born by regular humans, so is neither like good nor bad, but also has like powers, but also is like, he says, seems to me a lot.
Drake, Maverick.
This is how we should do fan castings from now on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably the best way to do it, honestly.
I mean, obviously there's Aziraphale and Crowley. So Aziraphale is an angel, but he's like really indulgent. He loves to eat really good food and he like has rare book collection and he always thinks that like everything he does is right because he's an angel, but also like he kind of questions the like ineffable plan. Like he gives Adam his flaming sword, even though he wasn't supposed to.
I don't know if this is the right answer, but the thing that I keep coming back to is The Miz.
Weird.
I don't think it's like wrong, but I don't think it's the right answer. Right. But I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
He like fits into that like you're supposed to be a good guy, but not. Because he's like supposed to be a bad guy, but he's not really. He's like a good guy. And so I feel like it's sort of the opposite
and
thing.
And very indulgent.
Yes, absolutely. And he like fits into that like if I'm a good guy, but I think your plan is wrong, I'm willing to like do my own thing to make it work kind of for me. Yeah. Like I feel like he fits into that pretty well. And has that look, too, also, of, like, you could tell me that he was an angel who is 6,000 years old, who, like, exists in this weird middle plane and has this also kind of gay relationship.
Okay. Crowley, demon, didn't mean to fall from heaven, but did, was the serpent in the Garden of Eden, but also was like, I don't really see what's so wrong with knowledge. That's kind of bullshit. He drives a vintage car that he takes in per, like, very good shape of, and yells at plants, and is also in love with his friend.
Again, maybe not the right answer, but my first instinct is Dean Ambrose, like, Agent of Chaos with a heart of gold, like, that kind of feels like him. And, like,
that kind of works.
He's, like, weirdly in love with his best friend, like, yeah, maybe I could, okay, I could see that. That could be a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse? War, famine, pollution, and death. Pestilence retired with the invention of penicillin, so.
Oh my god, okay. Let's go through them one by one.
War. Who is in Good Omens a sexy, sexy woman?
I mean, if it's a sexy, sexy woman as War, Asuka.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, like, that bitch will cut a whole country down. Like, I could see that.
Famine, who is a shrewd businessman.
Cheeseburger.
Because he's so skinny?
And he's a shrewd businessman! He's a super shrewd businessman!
Pollution, who just loves a mess. What? Why are you laughing?
I don't... It's Joey Ryan.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's my answer. Final answer. Joey Ryan for pollution.
Death. Who is Death? But it's kind of like a know-it-all because he's Death.
Yeah.
They're Death.
Because, yeah.
You can't kill Death.
Yeah, my first instinct is Jimmy Havoc, but that's not right.
No.
It's Nick Gage, for sure. MDK, you can't fucking kill him. Like, that's... And you know what? I wouldn't classify him as a know-it-all. I don't think that's necessarily the right thing for him. But also, like, he has such fucking perfect clarity about his mission in wrestling. And, like, that feels true to Death in, like, a you-can't-kill-this-and-it's-confident-because-it's-right kind of way.
Oh, Madame Tracy, too. We forgot. She's an aging prostitute who is also a aging prostitute with a heart of gold who also collects stuffed animals, who also is a medium, quote unquote.
Mickey James.
Yeah. For sure. Joe also sent us one about James Bond, but I'm going to save that one for next week.
Yeah, for sure.
That was great. The archetype thing works way better. I think better. It
does. Yeah, and like...
Because like, obviously I'm tied to the characters in a way that you're not.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like if we both know it, it's different where we can like go back and forth about
like,
it.
That's kind of how it worked with the Pantheon. Like, those are archetypes.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the... Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right. They are. That's literally what the archetypes are based on, is these concepts. So that makes sense. Yeah, I think this is a better way to do that too. Whoever has the most knowledge gives the archetype, and then the other person shoots out. Yeah. And you go back and forth.
I like that.
I feel like that was a pretty good fan cast, actually.
Yeah. I would watch that.
I would too.
I would read Slash about Miz and Dean Ambrose.
It exists, for sure. Totally.
Wait.
I have a better answer for death.
Okay.
It's Chris Jericho.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
I think that, like, the concept in general, maybe Nick Gage would fit better into that, but, like, in this particular context, Chris Jericho is a better answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Won't die, can't kill him, cocky asshole who knows it all.
Yeah, that's absolutely Chris Jericho. That's so funny. I was gonna say about like Miz and Dean, I don't really read real person fic. I have no problem with it. I personally have no problem with it, but I'm not into it.
It's not my thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand that Dean and Miz aren't real people and are characters.
Right.
But it's different. Yeah. We're encouraged to think of them as real people in a way that you're not with other kinds of fiction. Like, it's just different.
Yeah, it is different. Again, I don't have a problem if people want to write real people's fic.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just not gonna read it. Even the idea of people, like, tweeting about it, I'm into that, like, very short casual fic. Sure, of course. But, like, I don't want to read a bunch of...
I mean, short fanfic is, like, the best. Like, quick Tumblr, like, three-line fanfic is, like, the best.
Yes, true.
That's it. That's wrestling.
That's wrestling. We did it.
That should be the sign off. That's it. That's wrestling.
That's a great idea. You know, we're coming up on 4 years. We're super close. My LinkedIn sent me a reminder.
Is it on your LinkedIn?
Of course it's in my LinkedIn. It gets me more fucking recruiters than anything else on my profile.
But you don't even know how to use the editing software.
I know. No. No, it's because I'm a content creator. That's what I'm listed as. Co-host, content creator. Oh. And because it's like copy editor that like fits in there together. That's why people contact me about it. That's also why I get a bunch of fucking copywriter listings, because they're like, content creator, you could do that. Like, no, different skill set. It's a different skill set.
That is very funny. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter, which is locked, but you know what? If you don't seem like a douchebag, I mostly let you follow
me. Which is locked.
Which is locked, but it's fine. It's at Urgency. If you want to follow my most wholesome content, you can look at my Instagram, which is NYDUrgency.
And by wholesome content, she just means pictures of her face.
That's not true. I post pictures of books and the outside and...
Mostly her face.
That's actually not true. If you look at it right now, it's not.
Which I am going to look at it right now.
Look at it right now. It's not.
I'm going to count out of the 10 photos on there. Well, you just went to a museum. That doesn't count.
Exactly, bitch.
No, but you don't go to a museum every day. You knew that this was going to be a thing because you just went to a museum.
I knew I was going to a museum. Also, I'm super aware of it because she called me out about it once on the podcast. And I was like, these nine photos.
It still works. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3.
But those aren't my face. That my face is included.
Face.
Those are face. Those are face. The middle.
3 out of 6 or 3 out of 9.
3 out of 9 is fine.
Face. I mean, your face is great. I'm just saying.
But that's the thing, is those aren't all face. A lot of that's also my body, because it was like, hey, come watch me take my clothes off. Yeah.
It's funny to be like, your face.
It's your fucking face. It's also a lot of books. Thank you very much. I've read 46 books this year. I'm crushing it. My goal was 10. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at Stella_Cheeks on Twitter. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's just Stella Cheeks. You should also follow Plan9 Burlesque on Instagram. God damn it.
It is really good. I love the template. I love the template that we're doing
Thank
now.
You.
I think it's really
good.
I made
it in class and then I was like, oh, I should use these.
They're really good. I got an
A on the project.
Well, good, because it fucking rules. I really like it.
Yeah, I need help coming up with more because I've exhausted all four of them.
Well, okay, that's fine. We should definitely do that. We have photos from the newest one too, which will help.
Well, kind of, but yes. You can use the hashtag #NotYourDemoPod to interact with us online. Just be aware, if you use the hashtag, we do check it. But if you use the hashtag and use our handles, we're more likely to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I understand too.
Also, thank you so much for everybody who tweeted Stella married a daddy and a good
omen. Oh my God. Holy shit.
To be honest, Elle did it first and I was like, what? I forgot because we were drunk and I was like, what the fuck? I mean, yes, but sure, Elle, fine. And then, like, an hour later,
many people said it.
But then, like, an hour later, I was like, oh, I asked for that. Yeah, I asked for that.
It was great.
So thank you.
It was great. Every single time I got tagged in one of them, I was like, this is the fucking best.
Nick would turn so many shades of crimson if he knew that this was a thing.
Never listen to this podcast ever.
Well,
he doesn't
listen to the podcast and he doesn't have a Twitter, so are we even married?
Michael and I have never been friends on the internet, on any platform. We made a decision not to do that, and you know what? It was the right one.
Nick used to have a Twitter, and the, like, 10 tweets on it were quite funny. He's very funny.
He is very funny. In addition to being a daddy, he's also, like, very funny.
He doesn't understand the internet.
Yeah, it's not for him.
He understands it in the way that, like, a professional does. Like, he does all of his work on a computer, obviously.
Right.
But, like, he doesn't understand
branding,
like, social media.
Yeah.
And non-corporate branding. But he doesn't need to.
He's not a personal brander. Yeah. He doesn't have to do that in his life. So it's like, why would
he's
you
He's one
think
of those weirdos
it?
That goes on Facebook to just read other people's stuff and then logs off.
I mean, that's mostly what I do as well.
Well, yeah, but you also have other
social media
that you put stuff
that
on.
That I use a lot, yeah.
Yeah, he does not. I don't know what I would do if Nick came home and was like, I got an Instagram. I'd be like, what? Why?
For what?
What are you going to post?
Thirst traps. That's it. Nick would 100% turn into a thirst trapper.
Nick's one of those people who is very attractive but doesn't understand how attractive he is.
Yeah, but that was my deal where I was like, I feel self-conscious, and because I have an eating disorder, that this is a thing where I don't find myself to be an attractive person. But the more I started taking photos of myself, the more it made me, like, feel comfortable with myself. I feel like Nick would be the same way. He'd be like me, where he'd be like, I don't know about this Instagram thing. We'll see. And then it would be like, now he has 1,000 photos on his Instagram.
I don't think it would be.
I don't know. I just feel like he'd be the kind of guy who'd
be
like,
we'll never know.
I work out, and so I'm going to post all these workout photos. And so they feel like thirst traps, even though he's just like, I'm proud of what I'm doing to myself. Like, I feel like that's what would happen with
his
Instagram.
He went to the doctor today, and they were like, you have a fracture. And he was like, cool, what modified workout's going to do? It's my husband, and I'm like, cool, I'm going to eat Doritos and read porn. I literally did that one day this week. I went home, and I sat on my porch with my plants, and I ate Doritos, and I read porn, and I got, like, Dorito crumbs on me, and I was like, I'm a monster.
Listen, it's not mayonnaise, so it's fine.
Fuck you! Have we ever recorded that episode?
No, we should do that right now.
Well, if you want to know what that story is, go to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/notyourdemopod. There's lots of good shit up there.
All right, that was wrestling. Bye.
Bye.
This audio is gonna be so fucked. I know better podcasters would be like, I'm gonna sacrifice being hot for my art.
I don't wanna die in this room.
I don't wanna die in this room either. It's different emphasis.